are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, New York Giant fans, to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. My name is Patricia Traina, and I am your host. And I want to thank you, as always, for tuning in to the Locked On Giants podcast. I hope you've been enjoying the shows this week. It is the first week without Giant football of the new year, but rest assured, we are going to have plenty to talk about over the coming weeks, over the coming months. And I hope you will continue to stay with us as we go through the various programming. So for today's show, I have a special treat for everybody. I did an interview with Jim Nagy, who is the new executive director of the Senior Bowl. And in this interview, which I'm going to play for you over the next three segments, you're going to hear from Jim. He's going to talk about some of the changes he's made since assuming the directorship of the Senior Bowl. And we also talked about some of the prospects in this year's Senior Bowl rosters. So Jim, for example, gave some feedback on where the strengths are in the class, where the weaknesses are. He mentioned a few names that Giant fans might want to keep an eye on, not just in the Senior Bowl, but as we go through the rest of the All-Star games, the Combine, the workout days, and so on and so forth. So I hope you find this interview to be as interesting as I did, and we will start the interview right now. I'm joined now by Jim Nagy. He's the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, first year, if I'm not mistaken. And Jim, welcome to the Locked On Giants podcast.
Patricia, thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Very excited to have you on, because I've been talking to a lot of draft analysts, and they've all been pointing to the Reese's Senior Bowl and the impact and the changes that you've made, the new programs you've been introducing or planning to introduce, and hope to get into all that and more, including the game itself, with you this morning.
Okay, so, great.
Okay, so Jim, if we could, let's start off with a little bit of background about yourself. Now, I understand you were an NFL scout, and I'm assuming that's kind of that path is what kind of led you to this opportunity. Can you just give everybody a little background about, you know, your role in the scouting business and just what you love about it and why it brought you to the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, spent the last 18 years in the NFL. So was with the Patriots for a long time from 01 to 09. Had a nice run there. You know, really, really great organization, great place to learn. Then I went to Kansas City and took a job there. I was there 4 years, scouted the entire country for the Chiefs. Again, like anything, we didn't get the quarterback position really figured out. We built a nice defense, but we didn't win enough games, so we got shown the door there. And then I was really fortunate enough to land in Seattle, and I was with the Seahawks the last 5 years, and that was another great learning experience, because just the way the organization run is really polar opposite of New England. So I learned quite a bit, you know, just in you know, you don't have to do the same thing. You don't have to replicate something. There's different models at work. So yeah, I was there the last 5 years and had a lot of success there with the Seahawks. And then really we've been down, I live in Mobile, Alabama. It's my wife's hometown. We've been down here 11 years. And so when the Senior Bowl opportunity came open in May, when Phil Savage and the game parted ways, it was just something, it was too good of an opportunity for me to pass up, because, you know, the grind of being an NFL scout is really difficult, and 18 years on the road and away from your wife and kids can take a toll. And this was really a unique opportunity where I could, you know, still continue to do what I love, which is evaluate players and, you know, just be around the game in different capacities, but be at home more, travel considerably less. My son's getting to be high school age and play high school sports. So it gives me an opportunity to be around for more of all that good stuff.
And how is your background as a scout kind of giving you the direction to
I don't want to say change the game, because the game is just, it's become a classic in itself, but I understand you've added some new elements to it, or you're planning to. Can you just talk about how your background has led to that, and what some of those new programs and elements are?
Yeah, you know, this is it's really a big job, because obviously, you know, we're a steward to the NFL, and you know, we try to build these rosters for the 32 teams, and I take that responsibility very seriously. But also, I'm a steward to the city of Mobile. This is a big game for us. It's our 70th year. The game has a huge impact on our local economy. So it's also a big job down here locally. Just, you know, there's almost like a political aspect to it in terms of, you know, speaking and being out in the public. And obviously, you wear a lot of different hats in this role. It's unlike scouting, where it's football 24/7. You know, in this role, there's a lot of sponsorships involved, and you know, speaking like we're doing today, a lot of media things, where when you're a scout, you're on the road, and it's just, you know, it's just you and your computer and the tape and the schools that you're going into. So you know, really the biggest change, one of the biggest changes, there's a lot of things locally we're doing differently down here in the community to get some of our former players involved. But really the biggest change was I staffed the Senior Bowl this year totally with former NFL scouts. So, you know, we obviously don't have a budget that an NFL team would have. So I hired four guys that were let go last year after last year's draft that I've known a long time and worked alongside with on the road for years. And they're great scouts. I tell people, you know, football is a unique profession where you can be really good at your job. And you know, if you're in football long enough, you're going to lose a job. You're going to be part of a losing program and get let go. And that's going to happen on a yearly basis. So we're going to have to restock this thing every year with guys that are, you know, being let go, and they're on that year out and still being paid by their NFL team. But it was great, because I know these guys know what they're looking at. It geographically, it worked out perfectly. We were spread out all across the country, so guys could get to them. You know, we were at 8-9 games a weekend, some weekends with guys double dipping and hitting two games. And then, they've got all the tape at home, and so they were just, you know, we tried to run this thing as much like an NFL personnel department as we could. And, you know, the last part of that process was, once we got our board for our game kind of set the way we liked it in mid-November, after seeing all the players, you know, I got on the phone Thanksgiving week with general managers or college directors from 17 NFL teams. I really wanted to get at least half the league. And those were really extensive calls, and we just went over our board and who we'd invited at that point. I think we'd invited 60 players at that point, and then kind of went through the next list of guys that is our staff that we wanted to bring down. And then we kind of worked the cut line, and, you know, say we got three defensive line openings and we've got these eight players around the cut line, you know, just tried to get a feel for where, you know, where, who the teams wanted to see in those spots, and get a consensus there to, you know, form the bottom end of the roster. So, I would say the biggest change is just really trying to staff this thing entirely with former NFL people.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how, you know, I mean, there's over 300 kids that apply for the draft every year or who are draft eligible. How do you cut down and decide, you know, which 60 to 100 or however many, you know, do you invite to this event?
Yeah, it's really it's an exhaustive process, Patricia. But we start out, you know, like I said, we don't have the budget that NFL teams do. So, you know, our staff can't be out staying in hotels every night and traveling to schools every day. So we watched all our tape at home, which is great. You know, having digital video nowadays, as a scout, you used to be beholden to the schools to go in there and watch their film. You know, and now it's all digitized, so we have access to the NFL Dub Center, so I can get all the tape and our scouts can get all the tape and pull it down right from home and watch it, which is great. And then that's, you know, so we're going to see all the big schools. So for instance, our West Coast scout lives in San Francisco. So he did basically, he saw the entire Pac-12 out of Stanford and Cal. And then, you know, San Jose State's in his backyard and Fresno State, not a bad drive, Nevada. So we really, our scouts had to stay driving distance for games because we, you know, in terms of flights and hotels, we're not that big of an operation. But it was, you know, it was amazing to see all the places we got to this fall. There's very few of the Power Five conferences. There was only, you know, you could probably count on one hand the Power Five schools we didn't see live. And that's a big part of the evaluation process, is seeing a player live and seeing what they look like physically and their body type. That's a big part of the evaluation. So, you know, proud of the fact that we saw as many players as we did. And then really the other important thing about having a staff of former NFL guys is, you know, we all have our own personal networks in the league, and it is really a small fraternity when you get into it. There's only about 300 scouts in the NFL, and we've all been doing this. My four guys had 69 years of experience between the four of them, so they're all well connected. And to find the smaller school players, we really had to rely on our friends in the league that were going to some of these small places, and relying on those relationships to kind of filter those smaller school guys down, which we feel really good about. We've got a lot of small school players in the game, and this is a perfect showcase for those guys, because the league wants to see them against better level of competition. So I think we've got a really good mix of big school players and small school players.
I was going to ask you, everybody I've spoken with who's been associated with the draft in the early stages, at any rate, say that this is going to be a really good year for defensive players. I mean, based on what you have observed from and the feedback you've gotten from your staff and your own film study, where do you see, you know, the strength of this draft class taking shape?
Yeah, I think the first area you point at is definitely the pass rushers. The edge rush player, the edge players, there's some good juniors, but just coming down to our game, we've got four guys in this game that had double-digit sacks this year, which in college football today, with as much spread offense and teams getting the ball out quickly, that's a lot of sacks at the college level to have double digits. So like Josh Allen from Kentucky, had 13 or 14 this year, and he's the SEC Defensive Player of the Year. Jalen Ferguson at Louisiana Tech just tied Terrell Suggs' all-time sack record in his bowl game. Montez Sweat from Mississippi State had over 20 sacks the last 2 years in the SEC for Mississippi State. So it's a really strong group. And if you're a team looking for pass rush, there's going to be plenty of guys. And then there's some inside players that offer pass rush as well. Gerald Willis at Miami, Draymond Jones at Ohio State, Christian Wilkins at Clemson. So it's a really strong defensive line crew. You nailed it.
You're listening to the Locked On Giants podcast with Patricia Traina and special guest Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. We're going to take a short break, come back, and hear more from Jim. So please stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans, to segment two of the Locked On Giants podcast. We continue my exclusive interview with Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl.
And what about on the offensive side? And I ask because obviously the Giant fans in particular, they're interested in quarterbacks. They're interested in offensive tackles, specifically at right tackle. I mean, what's been your early assessment on those positions?
Yeah, the quarterback group is, I think the narrative in the media is that it's not a great group, but I think the league sees that differently. I certainly see that differently. So we've got seven quarterbacks committed to the game right now, and we're holding a spot right now for a junior that hopefully might declare today if he comes out. But to clear that up, we were able to my predecessor Phil Savage worked with the league a few years back and got a new rule implemented where we could have juniors in the Senior Bowl. I know that sounds kind of weird, but if they have their diplomas by December and they're graduated and they're taking care of their business, that's what you go to school for, right? Get your degree. So the league felt like they shouldn't stand in the way of those guys playing in our game, which has really opened the door to get some better talent down here. But yeah, going back to the quarterback group. So, you got Drew Locke at Missouri, who I know there's some guys I respect in the league, thought he was as good or better than any of those four quarterbacks that came out last year. So I think he's a guy that a lot of people in the league have first-round grades on right now. Will Greer at West Virginia is a really talented guy. I think he's probably in that late first, early second-round mix. Jarrett Stidham at Auburn didn't have a great year as a team. Things kind of fell apart up there at Auburn. I think protection was an issue, and there are some other factors involved. But I think Jarrett Stidham's going to have a huge week down here because he throws as pretty a ball as any quarterback I've seen in a few years. I mean, he's really effortless throwing the football. And then you got like Ryan Finley at North Carolina State, who was the highest graded guy by the Combine Scouts last spring. And then you got Gardner Minshew at Washington State and Trace McSorley. So it's really, really a deep class. We might not have, you know, Baker Mayfield was in our game last year and was the number one overall pick. I think coming into Senior Bowl week, he was probably viewed as a late to mid first rounder and had such a good week down here that Cleveland felt good enough about taking him first overall. And Josh Allen to Buffalo went seventh. I think there's a couple guys that could get up into that area with strong weeks down here. And it's really an interesting class because they're all kind of bunched together. So I think the national media, I know, and the teams are really interested to see how all that shakes down during the week, who responds to the pressure of the week and you know, who doesn't.
And what about at offensive tackle? How's that class looking?
You know, it's not a great group. And again, I say this, so I'm focused really on the seniors. There are a couple of juniors that are eligible for our game that I can't really talk about those guys. I don't want the schools to get upset, you know, making it look like I'm enticing their players to leave early. But there are a couple of juniors that will help that group at the tackle spot. But it's really a good interior class. I don't know, you know, what the Giants are looking for on the interior. But the guard and center class, you've got a bunch of players just in our game. I mean, this was really the offensive line group was the group when I was going over our board with my friends in the league that they got really excited about. So there's a number of players that are going to be able to come right in and start right away as rookies at guard and center.
Jim, what's the challenge for the coaching staff that is selected to work with these players? Because you've got kids coming from different, you know, programs, different philosophies. And, you know, obviously, I don't think as much of an emphasis is necessarily placed on who wins and who loses. It's all about evaluating. But can you just discuss the challenge and how the coaching staffs kind of work with these guys so that, you know, a guy who played on a spread offense versus a guy who played on an air raid, they kind of get them, you know, to meld as one, if you will?
Yeah, I think they have to be careful not to overcoach. It's really a fine line because you don't want to overcoach and install too much volume of your playbook and get kids overwhelmed, like you said, because then that'll paralyze them during the week. If they're thinking too much, they can't just let it loose and play ball, which is what everyone wants to see them do. But on the flip side, you want to install enough. These teams want to install enough where they get a good feel for these players' actual learning ability, right? So that's the advantage that these teams have. It's a great advantage to coach in this game. Because you sit in meetings with them for 5 days, you see how they interact with their teammates, you see what their learning style is, you know, you see who's attentive, who's on time, who handles their business. So it's a huge, huge advantage. But yeah, from a coaching perspective, I think you need to walk that fine line of how much to install. And that is the challenge. And then I think the other challenge is because these coaches aren't up to speed on this draft class yet, I mean they're just gonna be finished up their season. So you can't expect them to even know any of these players. Our staff, we're going to get with each coaching staff and let them know, okay, on the offensive line, this player, Michael Dieter, for example, at Wisconsin, has started games at left tackle, left guard, and center. He started 53 career games. He's played all three of those spots. You can line him up anywhere. Or, you know, take another example. You tell a guy, well, this kid's only played right tackle in college. But the NFL teams want to see him play guard. So make sure you keep him on the right side, but move him inside at guard during the week. And same thing in the defensive backfield. We've got a number of safeties in this group that teams want to see at corner. So we need to, you know, tell these coaches, okay, through the week, you got to sprinkle these guys in and get them some reps at corner in the week because the league wants to see that. So just, I think keeping track of those things would be, if I were a coach, I think that would be a difficult part of it.
You are listening to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina and special guest Jim Nagy of the Senior Bowl. And we will take our final break, come back, and hear the conclusion of the interview with Jim Nagy. So stay with us. Welcome back, Giant fans, to segment 3 of Locked On Giants. Patricia Traina, your host, with special guest Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. And here is the final part of my recent interview with him, an interview, by the way, that was conducted last week. So I hope you enjoy the rest of it.
Jim, let's talk a little bit about the event as a, you know, on a wider scale. You know, it's more, it's obviously about football, but there's some events that I know that are in place to make the event as fan friendly as possible. There's a museum, if I'm not mistaken. Can you just tell the listeners about maybe some of the events that are in the works that, you know, especially those that are coming down to enjoy the game?
Yeah, and that's one of the goals, Patricia, moving forward is to really grow the game back into the week. So it's more than just a game on Saturday. It gives people a reason to make it more of a destination where if folks from out of town want to fly in, it gives the, we want to have events on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday leading up to the game, because this really is a really unique thing. I think that people that come down to Mobile come, they always come back because, you know, for NFL fans, it's not many people know about it. A lot of people know about the Combine in Indianapolis, and that's become such a huge event. But this is so intimate down here in Mobile, Alabama. If you set up a chair on the intersection outside my office, you would see every single NFL coach, every single NFL general manager would walk by you at some point during the week. And just to have access to those people, if you're a Giants fan, I mean, to have access to, you know, Coach Shurmur and that staff, I mean, they're all walking around. It's a really small town feel. They're in the restaurants, they're in the bars. So it's really an intimate setting. But yeah, to speak to what you just said, this is the first year on Friday before the game, we're having a thing called the Senior Bowl Summit, and it's a leadership conference. We're going to focus on this year's theme is going to be team building. So it's going to be like team building in the classroom, team building on the field, and team building in the workplace. So we've got a lot of great speakers, both our head coaches, which will be determined on Monday. Next Monday after the season's wrapped up, they're both going to speak. We have Ozzie Newsome from the Ravens, the GM, is going to speak. We have the GM of the Houston Astros coming in. Todd McShay from ESPN, a good friend of mine, is going to speak as well. And then we have business leaders. We have someone who handles all of Arthur Blank's marketing for all his companies. We've got someone from Morgan Stanley Worldwide Sports and Entertainment, who is a sponsor of ours, is going to speak. So that's going to be one event. It's a great venue too. Down here we've got an old Sanger Theater downtown Mobile. It's a great old theater where they have a lot of great concerts and orchestras. So it's going to be a really cool venue for that. And then another thing we're doing, we've got a quarterback group down here in Mobile called Quarterback Country, QB Country, and this it's a group that trains high school and college kids. And we've actually got two of the quarterbacks in our game that we're training with these guys since junior high. And they're going to bring a bunch of kids from all over. They've got branches all over the United States. Excuse me. And they're going to bring kids in to experience the Senior Bowl and get an up close look at what it's like, you know, for these players and what they might have to look forward to if they ever got to the game. Just kind of an inside look at the pre-draft process and be around the NFL. So, and then, you know, next year we'll add an event on Thursday, and then the next year Wednesday, just again, try to grow the week back.
How important is all that stuff? I mean, because, you know, we go back to the years and years ago, it was just about football. You came in, you did your thing, and then the players, of course, went off and they had off-season jobs. And now, especially with football becoming a year-round job for these young men who play the game, I mean, these are skills that they kind of learn in college, but not as you know, it's not driven as hard, I think, as it is in the real world. So have you noticed, and I know it's new for the Senior Bowl, but based on your scouting experience, have you noticed that programs such as these really help to make these players more well-rounded and better football players in the end result?
Well, yeah, absolutely, Patricia, and that's been a selling point for mine with you know, some of these players, is just letting them realize this is really what the NFL looks at the Senior Bowl as, the first stage of the draft process. So, you know, we've got our event, our game, and then the combine, and then there's pro days in March on the school campuses, and then the draft itself. But what we have to offer is, you know, we're the only game that staffs our game with entire NFL coaching staffs. So they're coming down, they're in a normal meeting routine. They don't have study hall, you know, they don't have class to go to. So this is the first time in their life where it's 24/7 football. And so they're in real NFL meetings. You know, they're going through NFL practices. They're doing tons of interviews. There's zero downtime for these guys. They're constantly interviewing with scouts and coaches. And you know, and then on Friday we get them off the field, and they've got a day off before the game, and we take them out to a bunch of local schools and hospitals. like an outreach program to, you know, to meet the kids in our area and sick kids in the hospitals. And again, a lot of NFL teams do that as well. So it you know, they do that on their off days on Tuesday. I know the Giants have programs in place where they do that locally on the New York market. So it really opens their eyes to what they're about to get into on the NFL side of things. And, you know, and also we do a lot of psychological testing down here that they're going to do at the combine anyway. So they get that part of it out of the way. So it's really a wake up call of time management. This is what it's going to be like to be a pro.
Wow. So it's really like a good precursor, if you will, to the combine, it sounds like.
Yeah, it is. And it's an intense week. And that's, you know, what I've tried to implore with some of these agents is for their players is, you know, they can knock out so many of these interviews and so many of these psychological tests that it really clears their plate for the combine. So when they go up there, they can go through all the medical stuff, which we don't do here. And that's the biggest, from an NFL perspective, that's the biggest part of the combine. It's not really the workouts. It's more the interviews and the medical checks, the physicals. But no, they can do all those interviews. And it's a way more relaxed setting down here. You know, it's just them sitting one-on-one with a scout or a position coach or a general manager, whereas in Indianapolis, those interviews can get pretty intense. You know, every team's got their own hotel room and the players go door-to-door. It's almost like speed dating. And they walk in the room and you get 15 minutes and you're sitting in front of, you know, the whole hierarchy of the organization, and it can be overwhelming on a guy. So I try to implore the agents, get your guy down here first, you know, in a way more relaxed setting so he feels a little more comfortable walking into the combine.
Now, Jim, I'm assuming that at some point you will speak to the group of players coming down. Have you thought about what your message is going to be? And if so, can you share a little bit about what you're going to impart on them?
Yeah, we have an orientation meeting the first night they get into town. And then we have one the second day for guys that are driving in. We're going to have two different groups coming in. But yeah, the message will just be treat this week as an extended job interview. So, you know, if you have, I know it's a tiring week and you're going to have practices and you've got to study your playbook. You want to know your plays, but there shouldn't be any downtime. Don't sit up in your room, you know, for an hour or two laying around when you could be down in the lobby, you know, interviewing with NFL teams, because you never know what that one connection is. You know, you never know when you make that one connection with that one coach or that one scout who then goes back to his team and really pounds the table for you on draft day, because every one of these draft slots, there's so much money, you know, associated with every single slot, especially the higher up you go in the draft. So I'm going to tell these guys, listen, you know, if I offered you a bag of, you know, a bag with $200,000 in it right now, you know, would you lay around this week or would you, you know, be down in the lobby interviewing? I think they would all take that bag of money and go down and interview. So just to be professional and treat it like a job interview and take it seriously and have fun with it, you know, because they're kids from all over the country. You've got guys from the West Coast coming down here to the Southeast and guys from the North, guys coming down from Boston College and, you know, coming together all for the first time. I mean, if you're a kid that goes to Mississippi State, the good chances are the bulk of your roster is all from the Southeast. Or if you're going to Utah, most of your roster and your locker room is from the West Coast. So this is really, it's truly the first melting pot situation they'll be in. Just enjoy that. Enjoy it. Enjoy being around different guys that you've seen play on TV and have fun with the week.
And final question, Jim, what do you want people to know who, you know, are kind of familiar with the game, but maybe not as familiar with the details of it? What message do you want people to know, events, anything, you know, that you have coming up that you think really needs to be driven home?
Yeah, I would just say that, you know, this truly is a great event, and I'm sitting in the chair now where I have to promote it, but this really goes back to 20 years ago when I started coming down to this event. It really is unique in coming down to Mobile. For an NFL fan, I think that if any NFL fan truly loves the NFL or college football or the draft process for that matter, there's not a better week to spend. If you came down here, and again, we're Mobile, Alabama, it's not Manhattan, so you can come down here on a pretty cheap dime and just to be around it. I mean, you can truly immerse yourself in the NFL for a week. You can be down on the field level for practice. You can, you know, be out around the public with all these NFL folks. So it's really a unique experience. So fans that haven't had a chance to I know, you know, we're on TV, we're on the NFL Network and ESPN every day in practice, and we're on the NFL Network for our games. And I know a lot of fans watch it, but if you can make the trip down here to Mobile in late January, I think you would have a heck of a time. You know, just the people I've spoken to since I've taken the job, I've talked to so many people that said, yeah, we came down 10 years ago and now we've come every year. You know, this is like our yearly pilgrimage to come down for this thing, because it is such a great event for NFL fans. So that's what I would say. And then, you know, just for the fan base, follow me on Twitter throughout the year. That was really the biggest adjustment for me, was going from the NFL to taking this job, was jumping on social media, because that is like totally taboo when you work in the NFL. But I've had to get outside my comfort zone a little bit this fall. And I really just, you know, when our scouts were at the games this fall, we were shooting videos during pregame of all the prospects we were looking at. So, you know, trying to give people a heads up on what our roster was going to look like. And you'd see these guys at field level in these videos, and you know, guys that really get into the scouting part of it. You can get a great feel for that stuff. So, you know, follow me on Twitter. It's at @JimNagy_SB for Senior Bowl. And then you can follow our game at Senior Bowl on Twitter as well. And we will, you know, I'm posting everything through the bowl season here, and then through our week, and then leading up to the draft. Going to be trying to share as much insight as I can on the process, and pulling back the curtain a little bit for those fans that, you know, have never really got a look behind the scenes of what the NFL draft process looks like.
And of course, the game is going to be played January 26, 2019 down in Mobile. Fans who want to keep track of who's accepting invitations, they can go to the seniorbowl.com website. And it's really, I'm looking at the site right now. It's really, really beautiful site. It's, you know, well-organized, a lot of great information. So it's got everything you could want to know, from tickets, fan events, schedules, media information. So really nice job on the site.
Thank you, Patricia. I appreciate that.
No problem. Jim, thank you so much for coming on with us. Best of luck in this, your first Senior Bowl as the executive director. And we hope to have you on again in future years.
Absolutely, Patricia. Thanks for having me on, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Thank you so much.
All right, Giant fans, that concludes our interview with Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. And again, you can check out that game on Saturday, January 26th, that'll be broadcast on the NFL Network. If you don't have it, there will be tweets, I'm sure, coming out of the game, and you'll be able to follow all the action on Twitter, as well as, I'm sure, other social media. So hope you enjoy it. That will wrap it up for us for today's show, as well as for the week. And be sure to tune in next week when I start breaking down the Giants 2018 roster. We're going to go position by position. I'm going to try and get some guests to help me weigh in on a few things. And we're going to look at everything. We're going to look at performance. We're going to look at value. We're going to look at where they go from here. So do keep those emails coming. We're going to squeeze in a Twitter Tuesday, I think we're going to do it. We're going to have Twitter Tuesday. So if you have questions that you want answered, do send them to me. You can tweet them to me at Patricia_Traina. Tag them Ask Pat. I'm sorry, tag them Ask P Train. Got to make sure we do the right tag there. So that's P-T-R-A-I-N. Or you can email them to me at LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com. Appreciate you as always. Patricia Traina signing out. Have a good weekend.